Can anybody say God's been good to you this morning? Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter number 3 this morning. I'm going to just use this kind of as a springboard. If you will, stick your finger in Revelation chapter 20 as well. John chapter number 3, Revelation chapter number 20. I literally tremble inside at the message that God has put on my heart today. It is a message from God's Word that can make a difference. Not only, I think, Brother Chris, you said something about it's been on your heart that God would increase our burden for the lost. Not only for those that are here today lost, but for those that are here today, and probably every one of us knows someone that's lost. In John chapter 3, I'm going to allow you to remain seated this morning. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, now I want you to think about this for just a moment. Suppose that's the first time you ever heard the term born again. You'd probably ask a question just like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I appreciate honesty, Brother Jason. I was taught in school, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Amen. You know, if you have a question, ask it. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't that be good if our young people, if they have a question, they just ask it. Amen. I tell people all the time when I'm talking to them, I may not know the answer, but I'll help you find it. This book's got the answer. I can promise you that. Amen. Amen. How can a man be, or can a man be born a second time? Enter into his mother's womb, be born. He said, Jesus had said, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You ought to underline the word must, and the underline the words born again. Now go with me, if you will, to Revelation, please. Chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20. The Bible said in verse number 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pray with me, would you? Our Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord, that before you ever spoke the world into existence, you knew about this meeting. You knew about the good songs the choir would sing, the good song, Lord, that Sister Amanda would sing. You knew that Jesus would be being magnified and lifted up in this meeting. You knew, God, what you would put on the pastor's heart to preach. Lord, this pastor needs help now. Lord, I pray for a fresh oil. I pray, Lord, that the dew of heaven would fall on this service. I pray, God, that you would bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' precious name, all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I want to address the subject like this today. The second birth versus the second death. The second birth versus the second death. The first six things that God has given me in the message is going to be a contrast between the two. And the seventh thing is going to be something that the two have in common. You might think there's no way they could have something in common, but you'll understand after a while. Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious man, you must be born again. The first Adam made the second death a reality. For the wages of sin is death. Most people, when they read that, they're only thinking about physical death. They're thinking about the time when the lungs stop and the heart stops and the brain waves stop. But that's going a lot deeper than just physical death. People that leave this world without Jesus are going to wish that it was only talking about physical death. But it's not. There's a spiritual death. The first Adam made the second death a reality. The Bible said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The last Adam, that would be Jesus, he made the second birth a possibility. He made it possible for a young man at 27 years old that finally got to a place where he could swallow his pride. He made it possible that I could be forgiven of my sin, that he could have mercy on me. I want you to know, beloved, that blesses me this morning, to know that Jesus, that last Adam, he made the second birth a possibility. The Bible didn't only say, for the wages of sin is death, but there's a but right in the middle of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no eternal life outside of Jesus. Thank you for raising your hand back there, Brother Junior. That helps me. Amen. I want you to know this morning, God's going to lay out a contrast. In 19th century Scottish preacher, I think I can say his name right, Horatius Bonar, he asked 253 Christian friends at what ages they were converted. Under 20 years of age accounted for 138. Between 20 and 30, that's where I would have fallen, accounted for 85. Between 30 and 40 accounted for 22. Between 40 and 50 accounted for 4. Between 50 and 60 accounted for 3. And between 60 and 70 accounted for 1. And over 70, Brother Chris, there was 0. Sister Bessie, when I read that yesterday, I thought about you. This man had 253 Christian friends and not one of them got saved. But thank God I know some people, Sister Marge, they got saved on the north side of 70 years old. What a blessing. God is merciful. And God wants you to know this morning, listen, you say, well, Pastor, maybe I'll just wait till I'm 70. You better look at those statistics again. Honey, the longer you live, the less likely it is that you're going to experience the second birth. I'm going to give you some things this morning. I want you to pay attention, please. I'm going to try to go through these because there's a lot to cover. This is how God worked in my heart. You'll understand in a moment. We're drawing a contrast between the two, the second birth and the second death. The second birth is like a narrow path. There's only one way. Did you hear what I said? Listen to what the Bible said. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The second birth is like a narrow path that's only one way, but the second death is like a broad road. There are many ways, and there are many people on the road. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? There are many ways. Well, some are going to experience the second death because of their pride. Everyone's going to experience the second death because of their unbelief. But with some, it's going to be a problem with alcohol. With others, it's going to be a problem with the sex culture. They just can't give it up. They love. They have their pleasure in their sin. With others, there's a gambling problem. And with others, they're just good moral people. And they look down at the church house and they say, well, I'm just as good as old so-and-so. And they fail to realize that there's a holy God in heaven that said, there's none good. No, not one. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought about this. I'm going to read you a story in a moment. Last Thursday, I had a funeral in Churchill. I don't know if you know about anything about across the railroad track from the police station. It used to be Johnson's Funeral Home, and now it's Johnson Arrowwood Funeral Home. The parking lot, Brother David, is on two levels. There's an upper level, and there's a bottom level. And while we were waiting on the pallbearers to place the hearse in the, to place the casket in the hearse, standing at the back of the hearse, we heard sirens. Somebody ran around the building, and a man that I know, his name is Mr. Collier. A car had left the top tier. I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. Went down over the bank, hit a handrail that was on a set of steps, knocked Mr. Collier out. He had 20 stitches in his head, 12 stitches in his hand, and his ankle was all messed up. I called Mr. Collier on Friday morning because I talked to my neighbor and he said he's home. He's very sore, but he's home. And here's what Mr. Collier told me. He said, Brother Rick, he said we were three steps, me, my son, and my grandson. We were three steps from death. He said three more steps and the car would have ran over every one of us. And no doubt killed us. The Bible said, David said this when he was running from Saul. He said, there's but a step between me and death. Listen, there's not a one of us that can promise that we'll be back for the evening service. But I'll tell you this, that's my aim. I aim to be back for the evening service. But I'm going to tell you something, there's 10,000 things that could happen between now and the evening service. The best thing would be that the Son of God would step out on a cloud and say, it's enough. Come on home, youngins. Amen. It's enough. I want to read you a story, and I'm trying to magnify a point right here in the beginning of the message. I want to read this to you. I think I've read it before, but I'm not sure. But I promise you there's people here that's never heard it. This man, if you look it up on the internet, there's two men that are kind of famous by the name of Ethan Allen. And one of them was supposedly a faith healer, and the other one was an infidel. So now, no doubt this is talking about the one, because it's his own testimony. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Ethan Allen stood up to testify at a Christian meeting. Ethan Allen was for years an officer in the United States Army. Allen gave this testimony at a businessman's luncheon. He said, I married the girl of my dreams. We were so in love, so happy. But she was a Christian. I was an infidel. I watched her go to church Sunday after Sunday. I looked at her life. I listened to her prayers. I saw her Bible stained with tears. Boy, we need more of them, don't we? I was an infidel. I laughed at her as she walked off the church. I made fun of her as she prayed. I thought she was foolish for reading the Word of God. I was an infidel. Ethan Allen said, after a while, gentlemen, God gave us a baby, a precious girl. Oh, how we loved her. How we loved her. When she was an infant, her mother carried her to Sunday school every Sunday. When she was a beginner, 4, 5, 6, every Sunday she was at church. Every Sunday night, back to the Sunday night service. Every Wednesday night to the midweek prayer service. She never missed. Every week she went with her mother. Then Ethan Allen said this. He said, when she was 6, to church with mother. 7, to church with mother. 8, 9, 10, 11, to church with mother. But when she got to be about 12, I began taking her to the nightclubs, to the dance halls, to the high balls, and she had a good time. Finally, she began to tell her mother, Mother, I don't want to go to church today. I'm too sleepy. Daddy and I stayed out so late last night. Ethan Allen continues, I would laugh under my breath and say, she's not going to go and follow that old-time religion of her mother. I'm so happy about that. Her mother would plead and beg, honey, please go with mother. Please go with mother. But I would say, honey, you stay home if you want to. So she would say no to her mother. Finally, on Sunday nights, I would take her out to the dance halls or some nightclub with me, and we would have a big time painting the town red while mother was at the church house weeping her eyes out because her daughter had gone into sin. He said, finally, our daughter quit going to church. She never went with her mother. She was a beautiful girl, 15 or 16 years of age. We loved her dearly. Her mother was a Christian. I'm an infidel. She was following Daddy's footsteps. But one night she was out with a gang of kids in a carriage that had been swimming. And she caught cold. And after a while it went into pneumonia. In those days we didn't have penicillin and all the other cures that we have now. So before long she was at the point of death. The doctor called me in and said, Mr. Allen, your girl is dying. I went in and looked at my little girl, just a teenager. Her mother had served Jesus Christ. I was an infidel. I looked at her and my daughter said to me, Daddy, I'm dying, am I not? I replied, yes, honey, you are going to die. Then I began to weep. Her mother was crying, but there was not a tear in our little girl's eyes. She said, Daddy, I want to know one thing. All my life, mother has gone one way, and you have gone the other way. Now, Daddy, since I'm dying, I have got to know the answer. I have got to know. I love you, Daddy, and I love you and know that you will tell me the truth, and I will believe what you say. Daddy, while I'm dying, should I die Mommy's way or your way? I'm reading that because it fits so well. When you die, are you going to die in the narrow way or the broad way? In this story, Mommy's way or Daddy's way. Ethan Allen said, I began to cry and I threw my body on hers and I said, honey, choose mother's way. Choose Mommy's way, honey. Choose Mommy's way. And then he said this before I could get it said. She had gone off into eternity. I will never know until I face God whether or not she chose Mommy's way or Daddy's way. Better think about that this morning. Let me tell you this, beloved, you that are alive and well and hearing me this morning, we don't need to leave our families, Brother Tim, wondering which way we went. We need to live them a good testimony. We need to leave them a good forwarding address. We need to be able to say in our dying breath, come and see me in glory. Amen. Let's worship face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The second birth is like a narrow path. The second birth, the second thing in the message. In the second birth, the sin debt is paid in full. I like that, don't you? The Bible said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm telling you, beloved, you get in that Old Testament and our sins are buried in the depths of the sea. For far as the east is from the west, Jesus done better than that. He said, I just took them away. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord this morning, beloved. In the second birth, the sin debt is paid in full. The songwriter wrote in the song, "It is well with my soul." My sin, oh, bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. If I get to preach one time in heaven, Brother Jason, I'd love to break out in song right in the middle of a message. I love that song, "It Is Well." Sister Denise, I believe you sing that song, "It Is Well." I love that line. My sin, not in part. Honey, if we had to answer for just one little one, we'd all be in trouble. The blood of Jesus Christ erases it all. Ain't that wonderful? But in the second death, the sin debt is never paid in full, but rather paid on forever. Listen to what the Bible said. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." You say, "I don't believe in everlasting punishment." Don't tell anybody, because really what you're saying is, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible is clear. Amen. It's clear about heaven. It's clear about hell. The second birth, the third thing in the message, is the will of God. The Bible said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." There's one thing about it. When I know somebody, there's two men raised their hand in that funeral. I'm talking about men in their probably 60s and maybe 70s, one of them. Raised their hand and said, "I'm lost. Preacher, pray for me." And I've been praying for them. He said, "Pastor, how do you know it's God's will? Because it ain't His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The second birth is the will of God. This is good, acceptable sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom. Listen to these two words, "for all." For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The second death is not the will of God. You say, "Pastor, how do you know? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The second birth results in a glorious light. Both here, listen to what Jesus said. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The word of God said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In the second birth, beloved, there's light. Thank God there's light. We don't any longer have to walk in darkness because there's light. But in the second death, think about this. It's a godless darkness. The Bible calls it gross darkness in Jeremiah chapter number 13. The Bible in Matthew chapter 8 verse 12, Matthew 22, 13, and 25, 30 uses the phrase outer darkness. I've had people say to me, "When I want to go to hell, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to party with my buddies." How foolish. Someone told me that on his witness, and by the roadside one time there were some people drinking, maybe drugging, I don't know for sure, but they were pretty lit. It's sad that I know what that term means, but I know what it means. I was witnessing to him. The man looked at me and said, "Oh man, I want to go to hell." I said, "You can make me believe that." He said, how can I make you believe that? They had a big campfire built up, Brother Wayne. I said, "Hold your hand in that fire. And when the first drop of flesh drips off your hand into that fire, pull it back. Tell me that again, and I'll believe it." Brother Chris, he wouldn't do it. The Bible is teaching us, beloved, not only is there light here, but there's light there. The Word of God said, we're confident, I say rather, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. A man said, death is not the extinguishing of the light for the Christian. It's putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. I don't know about you, but I don't go through the house in the daytime. My girls did. But anyway, I don't go through the house in the daytime turning all the lights on. Because we got day. We got light. Amen. The second death results in a godless darkness. Jeremiah said, give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness. And before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Years ago, Brother Mike, I was in a prison out there in Farmington, Missouri. Never forget this as long as I live. Out there, you were called VICs. That meant volunteer in correction. Brother Chris, they didn't send a guard with you. You were responsible for the inmates. You had a radio on one side. And you had it was like an alarm button of some kind on the other side. They had a name for it. I can't remember what it was. We were responsible for the inmates. The inmates line up and they come into the chapel. That particular service, it probably about 35 to 40. About half of them had signed in and the thunderstorm knocked the lights out. I'm responsible for them. Half of them are standing in line. Some of them out there where it's raining. Half of them are already signed in and they're in the chapel. And I'm responsible for them. I'm talking about gross darkness. I said to the men, I said, men, come on in. Get out of the rain. Don't worry about signing in. Come on in. They all got in the chapel. Just for a moment, the emergency lights came on. And I said, shoo. And then the emergency lights went out. Brother Richard, you forgot to put the battery in it. Amen. I'm kidding, Brother Richard. He takes care of them around here for us. Anyway, my heart sank, Brother Chris. But you know what happened? There was a man in the middle of all the crowd, had a cigarette lighter. And you would not believe the light that comes off of a cigarette lighter in gross darkness. I wrote in my prayer letter, Brother Jason, it's the only time in my life I can ever remember that I was glad I was sitting in the smoking section. Just a little bit of light made all the difference. I'm going to ask you a question. What are you doing with the light God has given you? You see, I found in the book of Acts that Cornelius acted on the light that God had given. The Bible said his prayers and his alms were coming up to God for memorial. Are you rejecting the light that God has given you? That's a dangerous thing. The Word of God said, beloved, this second death, it results in a gross darkness. Number five, the second birth produces an eternity. Now, I want you to listen to this. Void, completely absent of weeping. The Word of God said, I read it in the book of Revelation chapter 21, that my God is going to come along one day, and I don't believe it's any coincidence. I believe it's in the providence of God. He lets us read about the great white throne judgment. You go right into chapter number 21 and there's a new heaven that comes down like a bride out of heaven, that holy city. And the Word of God said, God's going to wipe all tears away from our eyes. Amen. He'll have to wipe them away, Brother Wayne, what we just witnessed. He'll have to wipe them away. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I thought about Psalms chapter 30. I love it. Weeping may endure for a night. Now we're talking to children of God. We're talking about the second birth. But joy. Thank you, brother. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. The second death, the second birth produces an eternity void of weeping. The second death produces an eternity that is filled with weeping. Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24:51. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That reminds me of my grandpa. Just an old-fashioned country preacher, Brother Jason, he's knocking on the door, and Grandpa was inviting him to the meeting. He said, I ain't going down there with that bunch of hypocrites. You know what my grandpa told him? I ain't smart enough to think about what my grandpa... He said, I'd rather get saved and go to church with a few hypocrites. I wouldn't die and go to hell with all of them.
Amen.
I heard another preacher say this. Man gave him that excuse. These hypocrites down there. Another preacher said this. He said, you reckon there's any hypocrites at the gas station? He said, you still buy gas? Reckon there's any hypocrites at the bank? He said, you still go to the bank? Reckon there's any hypocrites at the grocery store? You still buy groceries? That's a pretty good way to address it, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. You need to realize this. You're not responsible for anybody else. You're responsible for yourself.
Amen.
You're going to stand before God. You're going to answer for yourself. By the way, I'm a pretty good sized fella. Boy, I like it if it stayed quiet right there. That would have been terrible if the whole church, Brother Mike, would have erupted into a big amen, a hand clap of applause. But listen, I'm a pretty good sized fella. Y'all think I can hide behind this pole right here? I'm going to make a point. You have to be smaller than something to hide behind it. Try to hide behind a hypocrite. You got to be smaller than it is. He is, she is, whoever. Matthew 25:30, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke 13:28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't have read all that. Why not? It's Bible. God is drawing a contrast this morning between the second birth. I'm not real smart, but I've already figured out which end's the better of this deal. Say amen. The second birth results in a wonderful reunion. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation. It ends with no separation.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of God? Glory to God, I can't quote it all, but nothing. They ain't nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Reunion with the Savior. No longer by faith will we worship Him, but we shall see Him as He is. Amen. A reunion with the saints. Hebrews 12 talks about so great a cloud of witnesses. Anybody got a loved one over yonder and you can't wait to see them again? I do. What a reunion. A reunion without Satan. I wrote this in my notes so I wouldn't forget it, Brother Jason. The Vannoys were a whole lot like the Hatfields and the McCoys. They couldn't hardly get together without having some fuss of some kind. Somebody'd start something every time. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're talking about a family reunion. There ain't going to be nobody there to start nothing.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said nothing that defiles will enter in. You think about that for just a moment. Amen. I'm telling you, in the second birth, there's a wonderful reunion. It's a reunion without sin. It's a reunion without suffering.
Amen.
I got a toe on that foot. My wife's been putting Voltaren on it for me. You say, why don't you do it? Well, I can't pull on my own toe, and it helps so much when she just pulls and puts it in that joint and pulls. But I'm going to tell you what, when I get home, there ain't going to be no toe hindering me. Brother Mike, ain't going to be no back hindering me. There ain't going to be none of them thoughts, Brother Jason, you taught about this morning hindering me. Honey, sin ain't going to be there. Suffering ain't going to be there. What a reunion. What a time that's going to be. Years ago, we would come home on vacation. July the 4th is the week that they gave my dad off. And we'd come home, and my dad had a brother. His name was Bill. He lived till he was 18 years old. And he was in a wheelchair. He had to be diapered like a baby. He had to be fed like a baby. He couldn't talk. But my dad would walk in the room. Dad's nickname was not Junior, but it was June with the family. They called him June. My dad, Brother Chris, and I'm not kidding. I'm telling it just like it is. My dad would walk in the room. I don't know what them two had when he was little. They must have had something special. He'd start just hollering, Dune, Dune, Dune. He didn't say June. It came out Dune. When Daddy went to heaven in 2015, wheelchair. You see, there's a reunion coming, youngins. Right now, they don't have that glorified body, but they know one another up there. I don't know how to explain it all. I don't have to, but I just believe it. In the second birth, there's going to be a wonderful, wonderful reunion. In the second death, there's going to be a horrible separation. I don't know how many people I talked to those 10 years in prison, Brother Chris. They told me the worst thing about this is the separation. I can't see my babies. I can't see my wife. I can't see my dad. I can't see my mom. Oh, beloved, listen, if they've got a 10-year sentence, they've got hope. But at the end of those 10 years, if they've got a 20-year sentence, they've got hope. Even if they've got a life sentence, they've got a hope somewhere along the line that a parole board might say, turn them loose. They're no danger to society. Y'all understand that in a place called hell, there's no hope. The separation is eternal. It's forever and ever. I close this morning with this. Let me just review just a little bit real quickly. The second birth is like a narrow path. The second death is like a broad way. In the second birth, the sin debt is paid in full. The second death, the sin debt is never paid in full, but it's rather paid on forever. The second birth is the will of God. The second death is not the will of God. The second birth results in a glorious light. The second death results in a godless darkness. The second birth produces an eternity void of weeping. The second death produces an eternity filled with weeping. The second birth results in a wonderful reunion. Brother Ralph, I've only been here 12 years. We've buried some precious people. I can't wait to see them again, Sister Shelby.
Amen.
They won't be carrying a hip like that anymore.
All right.
Oh, hallelujah. It's surreal to me.
Amen.
I feel like saying like Johnny, but so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The songwriter said it is better farther on. You say, Pastor, we've looked at the contrast of the second birth and the second death. But there's one thing they have in common. They're both promised in the same book. The second birth and the second death are both promised in the same book. The same Holy Ghost moved on men, and they penned down this precious old book. In other words, beloved, you can take it to the bank.
Amen.
One is just as real as the other. I thought about this. In California, I had to look this up because I know that it's on lots of things that you buy. They call it Prop 65 or Proposition 65. There's a warning label that indicates that a product contains chemicals known to the state to cause cancer, birth defects, or other reproductive harm. These warnings are required by California law. Proposition 65, to inform consumers about the potential exposures to the listed chemicals. It's amazing to me how much emphasis is put on warning people about the things that could do them harm physically, and how little emphasis, even in pulpits, Brother Jason, is put on warning people of the things that could do them harm spiritually. Physical harm is temporary. The Apostle Paul prayed that God would remove the thorn. God said, no, I'm just going to give you grace. He said over there in another place, he said, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The warnings that this pastor has shared with you today, they're not required by law, but they're required by the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible, to know it's true. Thank you, Lord, for making us a way of escape. We don't have to experience the second death. Lord, I'm glad you spared Mr. Collier's life. Lord, we've had some great conversations through the years. He's a child of God. He loves you. I'm glad you spared his life. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that there could be but a step. He said, three more steps, preacher, and we'd have been gone. God, I pray this morning you'll deal in hearts. God, I know that, Lord, everybody in this building that don't know you, I know you love them. And I know, God, the warning today was not required by some law in California or any other state. But Lord, you told us to preach the whole counsel of God. That God, we would be disobedient not to preach what you told us to. Lord, would you speak to hearts? I have spoken to ears. That's all that I have the ability to do. The night I was saved, Lord, my pastor spoke to my ears. But Lord Jesus, I remember it so well. You spoke to my heart. God, I pray you'd speak to the heart of those today that do not yet know you. God, I do not wish that they would go into an outer darkness, but Lord, that they would meet the Son of God in faith and know, Lord, the joy of the second birth. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of guilt that's gone. The joy of knowing Jesus, the joy of serving you, Lord. I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name.